Well, hello everybody. Welcome back to Coffee, Crime, and Storytime. It's me, Danielle. It is sunny for once here, so I am pretending spring is on the way and celebrating with an iced coffee, which is much needed after my work day. And the weather is really at odds with our story today, but we're gonna go with it. This one is full of questions, speculation, confusion, and no answers. Let's dig into the story of the disappearance of Bryce Laspisa. Bryce Laspisa was 19 years old at the time our story takes place in 2013. His parents' names were Karen and Mike, and they were all originally from Illinois, but his parents had decided to retire and move to California, and Bryce went along and went to college in Rocklin, California, which is approximately 7 hours from where his parents live in Laguna, California. His freshman year of college, he finds a lovely girlfriend named Kim. It was a pretty normal year. He went back home over the summer break before his sophomore year, and when returning, he goes back a few weeks before the semester started, you know, to get settled and all. So right now we're sitting in early August. Around this time, Bryce begins drinking heavily, per the reports of his roommate and his girlfriend. And we're talking excessively. Now, his parents don't remember him being a big drinker. They say they had never seen him drinking. College is obviously different than being at home with your parents, especially underage, though. So take that with a grain of salt, shall we? August 27th was a Tuesday, and his parents say that classes had started. He had called that day. Everything seemed pretty normal. That evening, Bryce was drinking and hanging out with his friends, and his friends say that he had taken some Vyvanse to stay awake. Uppers, downers, not the best combo, but this is coming from someone who used to mix Red Bull and vodka, so who am I to judge? There are reports that say by the time the 28th came, he had been up for well over 2 days. And things start to change here. Kim and Sean, which is Bryce's girlfriend and his roommate, say he started acting oddly since having taken the Vyvanse. And we're talking to the point where Sean had called Bryce's mom. So if a college kid is worried about another college kid, that gives us even little more perspective if they're calling someone else's parents. Then Karen gets a call from Bryce himself, and he says he's at Kim's. Kim's place is like an hour and a half from his place at college, and he tells his mom that Kim has taken his keys away from him. He says she won't let him go home. Well, if he'd been up for 2+ days and was heavily drinking and had taken methamphetamines, I mean, I get the thought process. He tells his mom that he and Kim broke up the night prior, Tuesday night. He sent Kim a text saying that she was better off without him, and then he told her they were breaking up. But see, Bryce's mom states that during this phone call, he sounded completely normal and completely with it. His mom then tells Kim to give him the keys, basing on the behavior on the phone. And he tells his mom he's going to talk to her later about a bunch of things. He's got a bunch of things he wants to talk to her about, but just now is not the time. He leaves around 11:30 and then proceeds to call his mom at about 1 a.m. So we're now on the 29th of August. This timeline becomes very important and very confusing, so I'll do my best to stay as clear as I can. Karen figures he's back at his place. Again, Kim's place was about 90 minutes away, so the timeline fits. But he wasn't. He was south of his apartment, having never stopped at home. 11 a.m., Karen and Mike get a call from State Farm, their insurance agency, that their Toyota Highlander had placed a roadside service call. Now, that's Bryce's car. She doesn't make contact with Bryce, not sure how all that goes down, but she does get through to Sean, his roommate, who tells her that he never did come home from the night before. Now, Bryce was listed as an authorized user on his parents' credit card. This is pretty common to help kids build credit, or for parents to help with expenses while their kids are at college, etc., etc. So, Karen and Mike check the usage on the card to try to find where he may be, since they can't get in touch with him. They find a charge in a town called Button Willow at a Castro Tire and Truck Shop. Button Willow is 3 hours north of Karen and Mike's place in Laguna. Button Willow is a tiny town with very little going on. They figure he's coming home and it's around noon by now. So they call this Castro Tire and Truck and they speak to a man by the name of Christian. He remembers Bryce and states it had been him that had taken 3 gallons of gas on the service call that had been placed so Bryce could make it to the gas station to fill his tank. They explain the situation. We figure they've still been trying to get in touch with Bryce to no avail, of course. And Christian offers to go check on where he had helped Bryce to make sure he's not still there and that everything is okay. Let me just say, the world would be a much better place with more people like him in it. So he calls back a little bit later, telling them that he found Bryce. He's sitting in the same spot where he had been, that he had brought him the gas at about 9 a.m. that day. So he gives the phone to Bryce, and he says he's not doing anything, but he doesn't give an explanation as to why he's just sitting there either. His mom is being gentle, thinking of the odd behavior, so she's just trying to be patient. And she tells him, fill up and come home. Bryce fills up his tank, and his parents figure he'll be home around 3 p.m. Again, he's about 3 hours away. But he never shows. At 3:30, they start calling him again and have no clue where he is or if he's okay for another 6 hours. I have anxiety just thinking about that. So by 6 p.m., they've filed a missing persons report in their home county. AT&T does a ping on the cell phone since it's on their plan. And the phone is still on, thankfully, and they find him in Button Willow. He hasn't moved. Police are dispatched and find him parked 8 miles from where he had been when Christian had seen him earlier. That is all the further he went, 8 miles. Police say he's fine, and he told them he was just sitting there to blow off steam to clear his head. Okay, but really? So police tell him to call Karen and Mike. Reports say that he wasn't really keen on the idea, and police actually had to call from his cell phone for him. The police tell them he's okay and hand the phone over, and again, he tells his parents is fine. They tell him to go home. The police tell him to head home. End of that phone call. But later that evening, Christian from the Castro Tire and Truck Stop calls him again, okay? He had had a missed call from them earlier, and they fill him in, the strange situation that's going on. Christian again goes to where the police were at, and he calls them back about 15 minutes later, and guess who he's with? Bryce, who once again still has not moved. I mean, this kid hasn't eaten, who knows if he's slept at all. He's just still in the same spot. Christian agrees to follow Bryce to the expressway this time to make sure he is moving towards Karen and Mike's house. And he follows them about 10 miles up the freeway before getting off again to go his normal route. Bryce and his parents touch base a few times here. And they ask him to give him landmarks, just to make sure he's still moving. But it's nighttime, so Bryce just says he can't see anything. He just repeats to them that his GPS says his time of arrival is 3:25 a.m. Okay? Just about after 2 a.m., though, he calls his mom, and he tells her he's too tired to drive any further. Well, yeah, I wouldn't doubt it, right? So they tell him to pull over, take a nap, get some rest, and then start driving again. He agrees. 8 a.m. the next morning, Mike and Karen hear their doorbell, and they are so relieved until they open the door to uniformed officers, not their son. They tell Karen and Mike their Toyota had been found, abandoned, and overturned at Casaic Lake, which is about 2 hours north of their house. After investigation, this is what they pieced together. Before sunrise, Bryce had apparently gone off the road and driven up the hill towards a cell phone tower, and then proceeded down the hill, actually showing signs of having accelerated through the brush and through the undergrowth in the direction of the lake. The car had fallen off a drop-off, and they say that the back window had been pushed away from the vehicle from the inside, meaning he may have maybe found himself trapped, and he kicked his way out of the back of the vehicle. There was some blood found inside the car, which came back as Bryce's blood, but nothing that would have indicated anything severe, more like minor cuts and scrapes, which, I mean, that's extremely lucky going off what was apparently a 20-foot drop-off. His laptop and phone were found inside the car. His wallet and his duffel bag have been found placed outside the vehicle. And there was no Bryce anywhere. Extensive searching returns nothing aside from two photos. One is a surveillance camera showing the car going up the hill at about 2:15 a.m. That same camera also catches a photo of his car going up the hill again at 4:29 a.m. Pardon? Searching continues, and dogs are able to track Bryce's scent from the car across the roadway to a truck stop. And the trail ends. And then there's nothing. Just nothing. And there's still nothing. Did something nefarious happen to Bryce? Did Bryce just get up and walk away from his life? Maybe hitching a ride at the truck stop? Did drugs, alcohol, lack of sleep cause a mental break? You tell me. Thank you for joining me today. I know that was kind of a heavy one, so I tried to keep it short and sweet, and I'm so happy you hung in there with me. If you have a story you'd like to hear, or one you'd like to share, email me at coffeecrimestorytime@gmail.com. Social media sites for the podcast can be found on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and TikTok. I'm gonna go start on my next pot of iced coffee. And as always, until next time.